You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
All right, y'all okay? Man, y'all made it. No matter what the prognosticator said, the forecasters, all the different maps, all the different colors, all that stuff, it happened. It rained. It did rain. Can you believe that it rained? More than once. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, what else would we be talking about, right? Oh, man, craziness. But anyway, here we are. We're at the end of Philippians. So some of you, you should have this totally memorized. Forward and backwards. There's some great verses in here. There's some of the best one-liners in all of Scripture in Philippians. And one of those is here, this, in, even in this week's message, Philippians 4:13, which many of you may know and be able to quote. Tim Tebow in the old days used to wear it across his little eye black there, Philippians 4:13. And he actually was preaching wrong stuff when he was wearing that. We'll talk about that here in a minute. I understand what it means because I used to have a towel that would say Philippians 4:13, and it meant I was going to run over your butt if you came across me on the football field. I get it. And but that's not actually what it means. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So anyway, I'm so glad that you're here, that you're feeling good about whatever you're feeling good about. And we're going to be wrapping up Philippians and looking at chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. So here we are, Philippians 4:10. It says, "How I praise the Lord." Now, and again, interesting that he would say, some of your translations will say, "Rejoice, how I rejoice in the Lord." And isn't it interesting that here, be reminded that Paul is talking to us from prison, and from prison is not a fun place to be writing letters, and he's there doing it. And another thing about prison, if you didn't know this, is that in those days, unlike today, you actually had to provide for your own food and your own caretaking of stuff. So if you needed soap, if you needed laundry done, if you needed food, if you needed anything, you were actually responsible for providing for yourself. The government didn't take care of it for you. And so Paul could potentially have been in need, all right? And he wasn't independently wealthy or any of that kind of stuff. And so here he is in prison. And so Paul says, "How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again." Now this rejoicing has nothing to do with his circumstances. He's in prison. So most of us would say we're not rejoicing because we're in prison or because of circumstances. And he wasn't. But he's also talking about this idea of concern. Concern is that word koinonia, which we've talked over about in the last few weeks. This is this idea that we have a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a fellowship that is that even though there's many things that could divide us, that we're drawn together in koinonia fellowship because of Christ. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm in prison. My circumstances aren't what I would like for them to be, but because of our fellowship together in Christ, and because you've thought of me again, this again is the idea it's a botanist term of perennials being reborn again, season after season after season. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm in prison. And I'm reminded I can have joy amidst my circumstances because, one, I'm in Christ, but also because we're in Christ. I'm reminded of the fellowship that I have in Christ that I have with you, and it just blooms in me. Because I imagine in prison there's not many flowers. There's not flower delivery time going on. And so Paul is saying, listen, as I think about you and what you, he's just received a gift from them, and he's like, it's basically like receiving flowers. It reminds me of what I have in Christ and what I have in you. And I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you just didn't have the chance to help me. And again, it's that reminder of the fact that, hey, he knew that he was in need and he was in want in some times, but they just didn't have the money or they weren't able to get the money to him. He was quite a ways away in Rome from Philippi. It's about a thousand mile journey. Not many people were signing up saying, let me take that walk. All right, and so Epaphroditus, as we know, had taken that walk for them and taken the gift to him. And so he's saying, thank you for the gift as he finishes up this letter to them. But then he just tells them, he says, listen, I appreciate it, but I wasn't really in need. But the reason that he wasn't in need is because he's learned something. He's learned to be content with whatever he has. And this idea of learning was actually a word that was that you had to learn secret handshakes or secret rites to get into a mystery cult. And so what Paul is telling his audience is saying, listen, I've learned the secrets of the mystery of what it means to be content. And that idea of content is, as Josh talked a little bit about last week, about stoicism, this idea to be content, that that whatever we have, whatever we don't have, I can still be content because I've learned the secret of what it means to be content in Christ. Now, for Stoics, this idea of content means I could pull myself up by my bootstraps, that I'm self-sufficient, that I don't need anyone else to help me or to do whatever. I'm self-sufficient. And what Paul is saying is, I'm not self-sufficient. I'm actually Christ-sufficient. He's flipping the script for his audience there, and he's saying, listen, I've learned the secret to contentment, and that is that it's I'm not sufficient upon myself and who I am and what I can provide, but what Christ provides for me, even when circumstances don't seem like they should be or like I would want them to be. I've known how to live on almost nothing or with everything. That word nothing is humility, that is, even if my knees have been knocked out of my knees, that I don't have nothing, I can be humbled. Or even if I have everything, there's a plentiful bounty of resources. I have everything I could possibly need. I've been in both places, and I've learned to be content in those things. Continued, I've learned that secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or with an empty or with plenty or with little. What does it mean for us to have anything in between and be content and self-sufficient in Christ? And here's the verse that you've been waiting for that you know, for I can do everything or I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Here Paul is saying, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, I find my strength in Christ. I find my contentment in Christ. That independent of circumstances, I can be content and find strength in Him because of how He provides for me, that He cares for me. Most of the time, when you see this verse, someone puts it across here on their little whatever they're doing, and you see it on your little placards, it means I can overcome, I can change the direction of what's happening, like almost overpowering. And that's exactly the opposite of what Paul is talking about. Paul here is talking about that in the midst of my circumstances and situations, I can have the strength to accept the situation. I can have the ability, the strength to endure the situation. And that I can have the strength to actually be content despite the situation. That there's going to be moments in our life, seasons in our life, and sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long, where we're in prisons. Whether it's literally in prison, but more likely metaphorically in prison, that there's in situations that we're placed in and we have no control and it is not where we want to be. And so that we can have the strength in Christ to be content. That we can have the power and strength in Christ to accept where we're at, and in those moments, the realization that we're not God and we're not in control, and to endure the situation and also thrive in the situation despite the circumstances. And we're not really good at being content, are we? We're just not. We're really good at if only. If only I had a better car. If only I had a bigger house. If only I made more money. If only, you know what I mean? Y'all have your own if onlys. If only. But what Paul here is telling us, in Christ, everything else is secondary. Our circumstances are secondary to us being in Christ. Because here's one of the thoughts for us. If we look at the whole totality of Scripture, sometimes our American dream gets thrown out the door, and what we maybe think of as the good life may not be the plan of God for our life. And so what if the plan of God for our life is not the good life, whatever you define that as? What if we replace the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, with what we think is the good life? So God has given us more money. That's the fruit of the Spirit. God has given us more stuff. God has given us a really cool car. But He doesn't worry about those circumstantial type things. He worries about our character. But we have a tendency to worry about our stuff. We have a tendency to worry about our money. We have a tendency to worry about our career success, the career ladder we're on. We have a tendency to worry about what we think is personal fulfillment. So we're always grabbing and looking to grab things to give our lives worth and value, and to create an identity for ourselves, when that's actually not what the Scripture says for us. And what if the good life is God actually developing in us character, where He begins to develop within us love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness? What if the good life is actually soul formation, What if the good life is actually kingdom investment? What if the good life for us in Christ may actually be seasons of suffering and hardship? What if those seasons and those things actually produces in us what God wants to produce in us, which is peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, truly loving people, instead of worrying about our bank account, how we look to other people, that is the contentment that Paul is talking about. That he flips the script for us and says, listen, we are so worried about our circumstances. We're so worried about the other things that make us look good and temporarily feel good to other people instead of allowing what God wants to do in to grow in us our character and our soul so that we can be content no matter what. Because all of the things like stuff and money and all that stuff, guess how much of that gets to go with us? Zero. And so Paul here is telling us, listen, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be difficult times, and all those things in Christ. Christ develops our soul and our character so that we can love better, so that we can have peace that passes human understanding, so that we can have joy amidst our circumstances. Think of it this way, maybe. If you were to type into Google Holocaust survivor stories, there's thousands of stories. And we know that no one chose to walk through the Holocaust. But it's interesting to look at those stories and to see how they walk through the most evil, depraved time, I think, in human history. And that those that survived it, on the other side of it, to see the joy, the peace, how they value life, how they see things radically differently, that their lenses were changed as they walk through that. Even think about if you were to type in trauma, and so someone that maybe has been through an accident or has maybe been through a severe bout of cancer or something like that, and you see their story and how, again, in the hardships and in the difficulties, in Christ, they were able to find contentment. And one of the stories that I know as growing up in and around the church, there's a young lady at the age of 14 that had the whole world in front of her. And she dove into the water, and when she dove into the water, she hit her head. And she hit her head in such a way that it broke her neck from here down. And so she's a quadriplegic at the age of 14. Now, that's not what anybody dreams about. At 14, you're thinking about, man, I want to graduate high school, I want to go to college, I have a career, I want to get married, I want to have kids, I want to do all of these things. And at 14 years of age, Joni Erickson Tada was paralyzed. She's never been able to embrace her husband. She's not able to have kids. But she's done more with her life than many of us will ever be able to do. She has a podcast. She has a radio show. She's written over 20 books, I think close to 30 books now. She's a world-renowned painter as she paints with her mouth. And in the early days, listen, she says, I did not like God. I was mad. I was angry. I cussed at him. I discussed my dreams and what ifs. But at some point, I found contentment being in a chair where other people do everything for me. I found contentment in Christ in that. And that's humbling. And so for us, what does it look like to find contentment? Instead of having a if-only mindset, what does it look like to know that in plenty or in nothing, that Christ is enough? That was Paul's call. And he reminded his friends in Philippi, he said, listen, I thank you that you gave to me. Your generosity was overwhelming. As brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you. But I've learned in prison, I've learned through all the hardships of life. You can look at them in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. All those hardships have taught me Christ is enough. So he closes out here and he says, even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Again, share is that word koinonia. And Paul reminds them that, listen, life is going to be full of troubles and difficulties. It's what we and brothers and sisters do to gather around each other. And that there's going to be moments where we're in our metaphorical prisons, and that this is the beauty of Christian community, is that we come alongside of each other in our difficulties and share in that together. That as the scripture says, that for some of us, the reasons that we've been in the prisons, the reasons that we've had the losses that we've had, is because God has given us an opportunity to have a story and also to come alongside others and be the arms and hands and feet of Jesus to each other as someone else walks through cancer, as someone else walks through the loss of a child, as someone else walks through the loss of a job, as someone else walks in the midst of a desert, in the midst of a prison that they never thought that they would walk through. And then we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can come alongside and say, listen, there's a lot of things we don't agree about, or maybe not even like about each other, but in Christ, I'm going to stand with you back to back and encourage you and walk through you, because I know that in Christ and in Christian fellowship, we can get through this. Let's be content together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you that there is no situation dark enough, evil enough, desperate enough, that you're not enough. That Christ is sufficient, that what you did on the cross was sufficient for us. And so that because of that, in Christ, we can be content. Father, the one thing that is the most valuable and the most cherished for us is our salvation, can never be taken from us because we don't even hold it in our own strength. You're the one that holds it. You're the one that gives it. You're the one that sustains it. And so, Father, the most valuable thing that we have is Christ and salvation through Christ, and we can't lose that. So therefore, Father, we proclaim joy. We proclaim contentment amidst our circumstances. And Father, we thank you that we have 2 a.m. friends that we can call, and we know that they will be at the prison with us. And not only on the outside, but Father, they will join us in prison and worship with us as we seek to maintain our contentment and our joy. May you be brought glory and honor, whether we're in plenty or we're with nothing. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.